Well, it's that time again on a Friday when AM Live presents another update from the coalface with Martin Creamer, publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. Hello, Martin. Happy New Year to you.
And to you, Kulani.
Well, the government is considering the creation of a special economic zone in order to reap the maximum benefit from South Africa's unique position in platinum. Tell us about that.
You know, the government is going for these special economic zones. They call them SEZs. Mm-hmm. We used to be IDZs, and now they're going for something different. And platinum, they say, is a candidate for one of these special economic zones, and we agree wholeheartedly. I mean, South Africa is in a unique position when it comes to platinum, and platinum needs to diversify its uses and particularly get a niche in energy, and it's waiting there. As Cynthia Carroll said at COP17, you know, the window is wide open for an opportunity to get into fuel cells, and these fuel cells are very versatile, and they're very scalable, and they're modular, and their byproduct is water. I mean, what other energy source generates water? You know, most of these energy sources use inordinate amounts of water. So they're saying, look, let us try and get a special economic zone where you've got the proper infrastructure set in place and you've got the top-up of the incentives to try and get people into South Africa to make fuel cells and also other platinum-related auto catalysts, etc. And you already have a tremendous meeting of the minds. I mean, we've never had a meeting of the minds between government and big business on an issue like platinum. Hmm. I mean, you see Anglo Platinum putting out a story which coincides exactly with what the Department of Minerals and Energy is saying, what the Department of Science and Technology is saying. So it's only a matter of time now for DTI to actually coordinate all this and to use this new special economic zone legislation to make sure we get more value out of platinum. Here we're sitting within Aladdin's cave of treasure, and we need to add value to it, and we've got this opportunity with fuel cells, hydrogen using fuel cells. Hydrogen is in abundance. I mean, we know even in the Limpopo, they've got that coal bed methane. You can get the hydrogen out of it, and you can generate electricity. And this is zero emission electricity. This is clean electricity. So you're killing two birds with one stone. You've got the carbon lowered, and you've also got value created. And I mean, in the words of Cynthia Carroll, the CEO of Anglo American, she's saying you can create hundreds of thousands of jobs in this in the next 30 years through not only the extraction of the platinum in the mining sense, but also the manufacture, the installation, the maintenance opportunities that now beckon for South Africa.
Wow, good news there. South Africans, of course, also eyeing the Republic of Congo as a major iron ore investment destination.
And we must distinguish here between the DRC. This is not the Democratic Republic of Congo. This is the Republic of Congo, which is next door. Mm. And we see South Africans going in there in quite large numbers because of the opportunity that the Republic of Congo offers in the field of iron ore, a very vital ingredient for steel, which is so important and everywhere in the world, and wherever there's development. So we see, Exxaro going in there. They've made a bid for an Australian company. It's a pity the Australians are always in ahead, you know. Mm. And this Australian junior's got in African Iron, and it's the most advanced iron ore project there. And our South Africans, which is Exxaro, JSE listed, black controlled, in other words, you know, more than 50% black owned. Mm. They've made this bid for African Iron, which is listed on the Australian Stock Exchange. And if this goes through on February the 14th, it'll mean that South Africans then take over this iron ore project, which is close to heavy haul rail, 2 kilometers from heavy haul rail, and is connected to Pontonoor, the port, where there is a deep water port and potential for bulk exports to both Europe and to the East. And we see South African Airways not fast asleep on this, because you see their adverts now. They're flying now twice a week to Pontonoor. Mm. So this new opportunity that we're seeing in Africa is floating a lot of boats. You know, once the miners get in there, you can see there's another South African link company, Exxaro, there. Mm-hmm. And they've got the Zanago project there already. You know, 860 people on the ground there. Jeez. So it shows you how quickly these mines attract a large number of jobs. And also, a South African involved there, well, Peter Freyberg, formerly of Anglo-American, now with Xstrata, listed in London, pushing forward the Sanaga project. So that's another iron ore project in the Republic of Congo. And nearby, there's also Equatorial Resources, listed on the Australian Stock Exchange, which has got a plan to put through 5 million tons of iron ore a year. So all thinking about iron ore coming out of this new frontier, the Republic of Congo.
exciting prospects out in the Republic of Congo. South Africa also leading the way in the distribution of shareholder-type wealth to mine workers.
You know, we must give this to the South African mining companies. They're innovative. And, you know, you look at 16,000 mine workers now benefiting from a distribution of shareholder type wealth. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we have had a tradition, a long tradition of management, top management. Mm-hmm. You know, they get share options, mm-hmm. and they can exercise these options at the right time when the share price is high, etc., and they can make themselves a lot of money. And they're saying, well, why shouldn't workers be cut into it? And the two companies that have done this, the first was Kumba Iron Ore, yep. which turned people into half millionaires before Christmas, and now we have Exxaro, again, a black controlled company. They're doing the same. They've done the same thing. Mm. So, you know, they've had 3% of those shares go to below management workers. Hmm. And so each of those 9,694 employees have got an average of 135,000 rand each.
Gee, that's a lot.
So, you know, so this is pre-tax, of course, but this is again showing that, you know, you can do well to link your shareholders directly to the company through your workers, mm. and how they can then see that productivity is a big thing, that, you know, the stoppages of safety shouldn't happen, because then you're going to lose out on that share value. And we can see how the unbundling of what was a state asset, ISCO, both of these have come out of what was formerly a state asset by and large. Mm. And you can see how unbundling these big cumbersome assets can generate huge amounts of wealth. I mean, this is a gazillion fold, I can only say, you know, uplift in value through the unbundling of that old state-owned ISCO, mm. the mining side of it. This is a reflection of that unbundling, both in Kumba Iron Ore, which is now Anglo-American controlled, and Exxaro, which is South Africa's big black owned.
And of course, benefiting the workers at the end of the day.
That's it.
All right. Well, Martin Krima is publishing editor of Engineering News and Mining Weekly. He'll be back again at the Coalface at the same time next Friday. Thank you very much, Martin.
It's a great pleasure, Kalani.